From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We start today's program with a scandal involving a private jet, a visit to a strip club, and a multi-million dollar pledge. It sounds like the start of a new political thriller coming soon on Amazon Prime, but in fact it's a true story about the athletics program at Illinois State University. Back in March, our partner station WGLT in Bloomington Normal uncovered a $3 million pledge made to ISU Athletics by Aaron Rossi. He was then the CEO of Reditus Labs, which provides COVID-19 testing, or at least had COVID-19 testing contracts with several Illinois state agencies. The money was meant to help build a new indoor practice facility, but just weeks after making the pledge, Rossi was indicted by a federal grand jury and charged with 3 counts of tax fraud. It's not clear if ISU ever received any of the promised money. Then, last month, it emerged that ISU Athletics spent more than $23,000 on a one-day donor trip involving Rossi. This happened back in 2021, and it was part of an attempt to secure his contribution. Our partner station WGLT had been working on a story about this, but before they went to air, Athletics Director Kyle Brennan resigned. Joining us now to talk about what those investigations have uncovered and what's happened since is Ryan Denham. He's content director at WGLT. Ryan, welcome back to the 21st Show. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And I should say, before we go further, we did ask for and get a statement from ISU Athletics. I'll be sharing from that a little later in the conversation. Meanwhile, you can join us now at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. All right, Ryan, briefly, just tell us more about Aaron Rossi. How did he come to prominence?
Well, Aaron Rossi made a lot of money very quickly during the pandemic. He was running a small company called Reditus before the pandemic started, but they were well positioned to begin offering COVID testing when, you know, Illinois and the rest of the world desperately needed it. So Reditus, his company, earned hundreds of millions of dollars in state contracts for state prisons and other facilities. And there was a lot of money flowing in. So Aaron Rossi, lived here in Bloomington. His lab was based in Pekin, which is not too far away. And Aaron Rossi, you know, began spending some of that money. He had multiple private jets, a luxury car collection. His spending habits are currently the subject of civil litigation. He's been sued by his former business partners about whether he sort of looted Reditus to fund a lavish lifestyle. And as part of that, people started asking him for money, including Illinois State University.
How has he responded? I mean, you mentioned there's an investigation and lawsuits and claims from his business partners. How has he responded to those accusations?
The biggest response so far is that his business partners are essentially not viewing him fairly as it relates to the company. He has, pushed back and extended civil litigation repeatedly. He's pleaded not guilty to the criminal charges, although there's still an active criminal and civil investigation underway regarding Reditus and its billing practices. He's denied wrongdoing, across the board, but he has not been especially chatty with us. He's, I don't think, ever responded to requests for comments since his indictment personally.
So you mentioned people started asking him for money, and that includes ISU Athletics, apparently, and its director, Kyle Brennan. Would they have known about these accusations toward Rossi, or should they have?
No, I don't think so. They were cultivating him prior to his indictment. So it'd be highly unlikely that they would have any insight that was not publicly available at that point. I mean, law enforcement was apparently investigating at this time, but there's no evidence to suggest ISU or its athletics department knew in advance of the alleged criminal conduct.
All right. And so I guess it's not necessarily then a question of due diligence they should have done, as they're trying to persuade him to make this donation.
Right. I think, we've interviewed a number of fundraising professionals and, we talked about, so how do you come to trust a prospective major donor? How do you make sure you're not taking a pledge from somebody who's not going to be able to deliver on it? And there are a few best practices in the industry. One is that you try to cultivate smaller gifts over a period of time to sort of build a trusting relationship that when a donor says they can deliver this money, that you know that they can because they've done it before. We don't know if Aaron Rossi has ever given money to ISU before this $3 million pledge. So we don't know if that one was followed. But ultimately, those same fundraising professionals said, sometimes this happens where you have a big pledge from somebody that doesn't get fulfilled and it doesn't come through. And that's part of the business.
So I mentioned this donor trip that ISU Athletics leadership made in 2021. What do we know about that trip and what it looked like?
We know it was pretty hastily thrown together. A group of less than 10 donors, prospective donors, and a couple of athletics administrators. This was back in December of 21. They were all looking to go to the Big Ten football championship game in Indianapolis. That's the game Michigan won. And they put it together pretty hastily. So they were buying tickets last minute for the game. These tickets were about $19,000 just by themselves. Bought the morning of the game. So those tend to be pretty pricey. About $5,000 in hotel rooms in Indianapolis. So they go to the game, this group of about 9 donors. And at some point, the end of the evening, it ends with some of them going to a strip club in Indianapolis.
And just to be clear for any of our listeners who are not big sports fans, Illinois State University is not in the Big Ten, actually. So this is not even sort of an in-conference game. Where did the money for the trip come from, and how does that play into the controversy here?
So the money for that trip came from a fund inside of the ISU Foundation, which is the sort of private fundraising arm of the university. Came from an athletics fundraising operations fund, essentially. So presumably that's donor money in that pool that was being spent to get more donor money. And in terms of how that relates to the controversy, I think, some could make the argument, well, yeah, this was private donor money to begin with. So, there's a little bit more flexibility as to how you spend it. While others on our campus, though, particularly those on the faculty who are used to very tight budgets in academia, pinching every penny to improve the academic experience, a lot of them saw it as this is all ISU money, whether it starts as a private donation or taxpayer money, whatever it is, it's all ISU's money, right? And to spend, $25,000 or thereabouts on a less than 1 day trip that did not yield a big donation ultimately is it upset them.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm sure you sit through the same ethics training of our station as part of a university as well. We all sit through this ethics training every year. I can't even buy a paperclip. I don't have that sort of purchasing authority. And yet, ISU's guidelines expressly prohibit, lavish or extravagant spending of money held by the foundation. I think that's a direct quote.
Exactly, yeah. So it all comes down to how do you define lavish and extravagant, right? That is not defined in those guidelines. It is a subject to the beholder type thing. Kind of like the Supreme Court's view of pornography. You know it when you see it. And ultimately, when we raised these questions to the university responded and said that some of the donor cultivation practices were inconsistent with the university's mission and values. You can read that probably as this trip was too much over the line, and ultimately the athletics director resigned, and his top deputy is no longer with the university either.
Why did it take, or what did it take, for this to come to light? Why did it take so long, I guess?
That's a great question. Obviously, we were actively raising questions about the trip in the days before his resignation. Whether or not our questions were the first time university leaders were aware of the trip, I don't know. I don't know when they became aware of it, if it was us or some previous moment, but his resignation certainly came only on the eve of public awareness of it.
I don't want you to give up any, and I'm sure you won't give up any sort of sourcing methods. Was this publicly available information about this trip, or is this sort of shrouded because it's a foundation, even though the university is a public entity?
It's a combination of publicly available records and sources essentially providing information.
Fair enough. So I want to bring in a clip here. Last week you spoke with Jerry Beggs, who is the interim athletics director at ISU. Let's hear some of what she had to say.
I certainly understand people paying attention to what they're hearing and not being happy with what they're hearing. I completely understand that. But I've actually been quite surprised at how many people seem willing to turn the page and say, okay, let's do better. Let's get back to what it means to be a Redbird.
I guess that's sort of a version of shut up and play the game from inside the athletic department. Does that mesh with what you're hearing from the community in reaction to all of this?
To some degree, yes. I think ultimately you need to be able to do more than one thing at once, right? So I think there is a legitimate interest in moving on and turning the page inside athletics, and that's what Jerry Beggs is going to be doing as interim athletics director. But I think there is still a reckoning to be had, too, about how ISU Athletics spends its money. There is a full financial audit underway of the department that'll take a couple of months to complete. We don't know if that's going to turn up evidence that this was a pattern of spending problems or just kind of a one-off, right? And the answer there is pretty critical. So you can't really turn the page until you have an answer there, because that answer will inform future behavior. That said, there does need to be a page turn. There's a new administration in place. ISU literally has a new president as well a couple of months ago. So the page turning does make a little sense to me, yeah.
And, you know, I should note we asked ISU Athletics for a comment before we went to air with this conversation. They sent us a statement that Dr. Beggs made when she started in the role on May 1st. I'll quote a paragraph from that. "I believe we have an outstanding group of coaches and staff at Illinois State and talented student athletes who are working hard to be competitive in all aspects of their lives. My goal is to put the focus back on the 450 student athletes who proudly wear Illinois State on their jerseys. During this transition, I have urged our staff to do the same." So there was a canceled fee increase, Ryan. How would you say ISU Athletics is responding, and the university more broadly is responding in the wake of these events being uncovered?
Right. Yeah. So I attended an academic senate meeting a couple of weeks ago. That's ISU has a shared governance model where, you know, faculty and staff and students are part of this thing called the senate, and they can sort of guide the president's office on carrying out educational policy. And so that was the first time they really had a chance to weigh in on what we had reported. And, you know, they were upset. A lot of people really upset about evidence of this kind of spending. A lot of faculty are very interested in how the audit, this full financial audit, will be conducted over the next couple of months, whether it's going to be internal or external, who is going to get to see the findings, how transparent ISU will be about the findings. So that's been a pretty important part of the response. On the athletic side, I think they're trying to find places of strength to build upon, right? You know, despite the resignation of the athletics director and his top deputy, our reporting has tried to reflect that there's a lot of positive going on too in that department, a lot of success kind of on the field and on the court that is overshadowed by questionable decision making at the very, very top. But I think that's, you know, what Jerry Beggs wants to get back to is turning that focus back to the student athletes, certainly.
A little more than a minute and a half left in our conversation. And last question, I guess. Kyle Brennan, the former athletic director and his assistant, are not the only people who have resigned from the university in recent months. You mentioned the university president, Terry Goss Kinsey, resigned abruptly in February for reasons that aren't still entirely clear. What is the atmosphere like on campus? Is there, you know, a feeling of uncertainty around the university leadership?
I think there's some sense of uncertainty. I think these resignations have certainly gotten the attention of staff and some students here. Our College of Education dean just stepped down from that role, going back to faculty. That's a very prominent college here. I think our chief lobbyist down in Springfield also left at the end of last year. So yeah, I think that is starting to add up, and people are starting to scratch their heads a little bit. We do have an interim president that is Andove Tarhule, who faculty and staff seem to have responded really well to in the last couple of months since he came on board. However, I still sense a palpable frustration that the former president's resignation has never been explained to anybody. It's been shrouded in secrecy. It's not been transparent. The Board of Trustees has refused to talk about why the former president, who was making a lot of money, had a lot of power, why that person resigned. And there's some frustration there.
Ryan Denham is content director at WGLT. Ryan, thanks so much for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Thanks for having me.
The 21st is made possible in part by Busey. For 150 years, Busey has helped business owners and entrepreneurs navigate financial decisions, achieve long-term goals, and realize dreams of success. Busey, fulfilling dreams since 1868.